So we're in part five, the final part of our series, Rest Stop, and this is called Resisting a Rest. And so just to quickly recap where we've been, in part one, we looked at the Sabbath day, and we looked at the day of rest. The Sabbath day was supposed to be about resting in God's completed work. We oftentimes think of it as just a day off, but that's not what it was intended for. It's to rest in God's completed work. And then in part two, we looked at the Sabbath year, and that there was a whole year of rest, like the Sabbath day, and it included the cancellation of debts. And this, is again, was supposed to point to God's work. And then every 50 years, you had the year of Jubilee, which was 2 years in a row, because you had the Sabbath year and then the year of Jubilee. And including everything else, now you also set the captives free. And so more picture of the kingdom and what God wanted to do and what God wants to do and plans to do when he reestablishes his kingdom in full. So we saw all these pictures that God had built into the life of Israel to try to show what he was going to do and what he wants to offer humanity. And so then last week we looked at Jesus and the Sabbath and how Jesus relates to the Sabbath not as breaking the rules, but as fulfilling the purpose of the Sabbath, which was, again, to have God provide, have God set free, to have God lift up, and have God do the work, freeing people from sickness and bondage. So he would heal people on the Sabbath, which really upset the religious people because they were trying to follow rules, not follow the promise of the kingdom, which is what the Sabbath was for. And Jesus tries to explain that. So all the way through here, we've seen that the focus is on God's work, not on ours. Now, if that's the case, if our focus is supposed to be on his provision and not our performance, it almost seems too easy, because if we don't have to do anything to please God, well, then shouldn't we all be okay? I mean, okay, if God just did it all, well, then shouldn't everybody be saved and everybody be okay? And I mean, it almost seems too easy, you know? So then we begin to wonder, is it really that easy? I mean, yeah, I know that it's God's work, but we still have a lot we have to do. Because it seems like we're being too simplistic. And well, you know, salvation isn't that easy. Is that the case? No, it really is that easy. It really is that simple. And ironically, it is because it is that easy that most people reject it anyway. And we're going to look at that today, that sometimes we and pastors and preachers have been too guilty of this, have taken this message that is clearly presented in the gospel and presented through our theology, and we've tried to make it harder because we think that maybe that makes it better, and yet it's not supposed to be that hard. And yet because it is so easy is exactly why so many people miss it. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into Hebrews. Father, we just thank you right now for the chance to study your word. Lord, to understand our salvation and to understand what it means and to understand then how we live it out and how we share it with others and what it means for us as we sometimes get caught up in religion and not caught up in you. Lord, we know that that happened to your people, and Lord, it can happen to us. So be with us right now as we study your word, that your word will speak into our hearts and we'll understand what you have told us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to read chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 11. And the reason we're doing it is because, remember, the chapter designations, the chapter breaks, are not in the original language. And in this case, chapter 4 comes smack dab in the middle of something that the writer of Hebrews is teaching. So we're not going to break it up because we need the whole picture. So Hebrews, starting in chapter 3, verse 7, and going to chapter 4, verse 11. So feel free to follow along as I read. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Excuse me. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? And did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to the disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. All right, there's a lot there, but I think you hear how that all goes together. So first, okay, what's wrong? Why did everything go haywire for these guys? Well, what does it say? What does it say? They heard and they did not listen. We see this in chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, if you hear his voice, they heard his voice. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the wilderness. They heard, but they didn't listen. They didn't take it. They hardened their hearts. Chapter 4, verse 2. Indeed, if we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So they heard, but then they didn't believe him. They didn't listen. And because they didn't believe him, because they heard, but then they didn't listen and they didn't believe him, this unbelieving led to rebellion. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Notice it's not an evil, doing bad things heart. It's an evil, unbelieving heart. Because the unbelieving is what led to rebellion. It wasn't that they did bad things. It's they did bad things because they didn't believe him. Verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example or the same kind of disobedience. What kind of disobedience do they have? Disbelief. Verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard didn't profit them because they didn't believe. So God had led them. Think about this. It boils down. God delivered them. He'd led them out of slavery. He brought them out of Egypt. What did they have to do? Run. They just had to go. They didn't have to free themselves. They didn't have to fight the Egyptians. They didn't have to do anything. He just says, go. I'll take care of it. Go. And they get out there, and he says, all right, now we're going to walk through the desert, and I'm going to feed you every day. I'm going to keep you safe every day. I'm going to make sure you have water. I'll take care of everything. All you have to do is walk. Just follow me, and I'll take care of everything. And they consistently doubted him and refused to trust his total provision. They didn't have to do anything other than let him take care of them, and that was too much. Instead, they consistently went, I don't know if God can really do that. I mean, we see it for the first time when they got to the Red Sea, and God had just delivered them from Egypt, but now the Egyptians are coming at the Red Sea, and they're like, well, we're going to die, God can't do it. And they just didn't believe him. What they have to do, was it hard to do it? No, all they had to do is say, God's got this. That's all they had to do. And they consistently, again and again, and just go back and read the account in Exodus. They just again and again refuse to let God do everything. So what should we do? What is he teaching about us? Because they didn't believe God. They refused to trust his total provision. So what do we do? Well, what does it say in here? Listen and believe. Chapter 3, verse 10. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in my heart. They did not know my ways. What does God want? He's not looking for our service. He doesn't need it. God doesn't need anything from us. He created us so that we could know him. That's what God wants. He wants us to know him. What did Paul say? The one thing he goes, that I would know him and the power of his resurrection, that I would know him. God created Adam and Eve so he could hang out with them and they would know him. And here he says, and these guys, they don't know me. Even though he had been trying to provide for them, they didn't know him. Didn't understand his ways, what he does. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Our confidence, our assurance. We are in Christ if we count on him. If we hold fast to trusting in him. That's all. Now, when do we do this? Did you catch it? I mean, when the Bible repeats itself, it's because it's for emphasis. Chapter 3, 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today hear his voice. Verse 13. But encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today. Verse 15. While it is said, today if you hear his voice. Chapter 4, verse 7. He again fixes a certain day. Today. He says, what do you need to do? Trust him today. That's it. That's it. Trust him today. We've put so many rules and so much legalism around the concept of rest. But what is the concept of rest? What does it mean, rest? Chapter 4, verse 4, we see that here brings everything we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks together. For he has said somewhere, and that's just the way they would talk as far as quoting the Old Testament, for he has said concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. So there's the first summing up of the Sabbath day is to emphasize God's completed work. God's completed work. Then in verses 9 and 10, next. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Because remember, Jesus said, the Sabbath is for man. Man wasn't created to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And so here it all is. Here's what we talked about back on part one of the Sabbath day. The point of the Sabbath is to understand that we can stop working because God finished working, and our rest is in his finished work, not in our ability to work. And boy, that just turns a whole lot of Christianity kind of on its ears, because so often, or at least our churchianity, because we've had a lot of people stand in pulpits and say, here's what you need to do. And here it says, if you've entered into his rest, you can stop too. Because he stopped. Because he finished. It is finished. Remember, that was Jesus' words on the cross. Entering into God's rest means that you're done too. And then verse 11, it says, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest. In other words, work hard to stop. Work hard to stop. Sorry, I'm really dry today. This is the thing that we struggle with. The call isn't to do. It is to trust. Resting in him means to believe and fully trust in his work. And we want to do something. We want to work at something. We want to somehow measure up or pitch in. But we need to rest in him to fully trust and believe in his work. Israel didn't. Again, think about it. We go, oh, Israel really messed up. How did they mess up? It just spent a lot of time explaining. They messed up because they just refused to let him take care of them. He was going to deliver them from the Egyptians. He was going to feed them. He said, in 40 years, you never had to buy sandals. They never wore out. He says, I'll take care of everything. You don't even have to find a Payless. But that's why it's so hard. We are stubbornly independent. We want to do our own thing. We want to work hard to be good enough, and we want to rely on ourselves. Because it isn't hard, as far as there's not a lot of things you have to do. And that's what sets the message of the Bible apart from every religion you'll ever encounter, including church, I got this from someone else, called churchianity. Because that's always based on what God wants you to do. And if the message of the Sabbath is, God did it. It's done. And on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. And it says, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he was done. And here it said, and if you enter his rest, you're done too. But we're not good at that because we're like, well, I just need to. And Israel, they just says, well, I don't know. Could God really do that? I don't know. I'm a little worried. Well, I'm kind of sick of the manna. Well, I don't know. It's hard out here. I don't know. And they didn't trust him. And that's us. We are so stubbornly independent. And that's the world. And that's why, although God has freely provided salvation for everyone, most of them won't take it. So let's apply this. Don't witness the goodness of God and turn away. Don't feel like you know better and can do better and do your own thing, especially even while being religious. I watch people, even people I know and love. I watch people online, watch people. And it is so simple. They struggle, but they could get help. They're lonely, but there are people around them. But they're like, well, I don't know if they... And we have all the rationales. And really, it comes down to pride. It comes down to, well, but, I have my pride. Or, well, I just feel. Yeah. And we go, I just feel so alone. Or I just feel this. God's like, I have done everything. I gave you my son. I came and died. I lived among you and died. What more do you need to be convinced that I love you and that I will take care of you? And yet, what Satan whispered in Eve's ear, did the Lord really say that? Maybe the Lord's holding out on you. Or we go, well, I just need to be a good person. I just need to go through and I just need to, well, you know, hey, I go to church. Hey, I do this. Hey, I do that. The message of the Sabbath, the message of this whole series, the message of this. Stop! Rest! Realize that He has done it. That's the good news. And that's as Jesus walked through His life, He kept running into people who were in bad shape, and He's like, don't worry, I got this. Let me take care of you. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. We need to accept more, trust more, rest more, not perform more. And that's a toughie. Because we're so focused on, am I doing enough? Am I good enough? Have I been faithful enough? And the minute you're asked that question, you're not resting anymore. Chapter 4, verse 10 is such a key verse from today's and the whole series. The one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. There is nothing more you need to do. There is just always going to be more you can receive. And that's why he says, if we hold our confidence, chapter 3, verse 14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, in other words, his guarantee, firm until the end. If you just keep a grip on what he's done, you're in him. It is really that simple. But that is really hard because we want to perform. This is why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And but because of our tendency to feel that we have to perform and act and do, we do not perceive his yoke as easy and his burden light. We go, but God demands great things. He goes, no, I offer great things. Stop. Trust me. And that's the tallest order of all. To put away our pride and rest in him. Let's pray. Father, we are not good at that. I am not good at that. I worry about doing enough. Every time I mess up, I feel guilty. And then I start focusing on how bad I've been. As if somehow something new has happened that has made me more of a rebel than I was before. And then when I do good, I become proud of myself, as if somehow something new has happened where you love me more than you loved me when you gave your life for me. That somehow I am more acceptable than when you declared me fully acceptable and called me your child. So I keep thinking that somehow I am going up and down in your estimation and I need to put forth more work when you have told me to trust you and rest in you and abide in you, because if I abide in you, then I will bear much fruit because you'll do the work and fruit will appear in my life because I'm focused not on me, but on you and on your goodness and on your provision, on your power and your work and your person. And my confidence will not be in my ability to be a good Christian or to be a good servant. But as we sang last night, but because you're a good, good Father. Because you are a good God who died on the cross for us, who have poured out and did not even withhold your own Son from us, but poured out your blessing upon us because you want us to know you, the only true God who cares and who loves and is full of loving kindness that is everlasting, and that you wish to do that for all eternity, to pour out your goodness on us. If only we would just stop and let you. Lord, may we not be like your people Israel, who after you set them free, after you put forth your power, after you even parted the Red Sea, and for 40 years they watched you work. They watched food fall from the sky. They watched an army drown in a flood. They watched a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke lead them. They watched water gush out of a rock in the middle of the desert. And even after seeing all the things that you did for them, they still didn't trust you. They refused to have confidence in you at all. Lord, may we not be like that. Lord, we live in perilous times. We are walking through a wilderness and we don't like where we are either. And it is easy for us to become like Israel and doubt your goodness, doubt your provision, doubt the path you have us on, and abandon you. Because we know better. May we rest in you. May we find peace in your completed work. May we each understand that it is not about what we've done or what we're going to do, but it is fully and completely what you did on the cross when you paid the price for our sins. And may we live and rest in that tremendous love every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All the way through here, and as we continue to move forward, as we continue to figure out ways to be God's church and to be a witness to our community when we have to gather and do almost everything in different ways, the biggest thing is that we find our hope, our unity, and everything else in the completed work of Christ. So I hope that you'll continue to reach out. I hope that you'll look to continue to get involved, especially as we do new ways to connect into each other's lives. Thank you for joining us today. I love you. I miss you. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Have a great day.